Michelangelo once said, "The greatest danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it's too low and we reach it." Welcome to Life Talk with Jesse Meester. As an international actor, entrepreneur, and world traveler with millions of followers, Jesse seeks to speak and learn from the most insightful, successful people in the world, sharing love and life together. This is Life Talk, and this is your host, Jesse Meester.
Welcome to another episode of Life Talk. Happy New Year, everybody. My first guest this year, Connor Murphy, is with us again. Part two of the saga. A lot of you guys have been requesting Connor and have been saying, when is he going to be back on? And I really have been wondering, how has he been doing? What has he been going through? And I think some people can maybe relate. Some people might understand things a little bit better. Some others might judge, have different opinions, and that's okay. But we're here to talk openly about everything. And Connor, I'm so glad you're back and you're looking good. How are you?
Yeah, good, man. Glad to be back. I'm honored to be the first guest of the new year. So yeah. Thanks for having me back on, man.
Good to see you, my friend. And I heard you say that you took a break consciously. Why was that?
Yeah, man. So, you know, it's kind of a long story. People would need to go back and view a lot of different videos of mine to really get the whole picture of what's been going on. But I'm kind of at the point where I'm kind of at like a transitional phase in life where I'm not really sure exactly what to do yet, like career wise and stuff like that. You know, I was really into the whole spirituality niche. You know, most people probably know I started out doing fitness and doing like different like fitness prank type style videos, interacting with girls, picking up girls, stuff like that. And while that was fun for a while, it kind of got to the point where it just like wasn't that fulfilling for me, you know? And I feel like I was kind of, although I was entertaining people, I feel like I was kind of indirectly kind of, it was almost like I felt like I was indirectly leading people down the wrong path. They thought, oh, you know, if I just got this great physique worked out and like got all these girls, like I'll be happy. You know what I mean? And I felt like it was kind of a shallow picture that I was putting out there. And so I kind of wanted to go and do something deeper. And so I had this whole idea to kind of do all these crazy videos and dive deep into like this spiritual niche and stuff like that. And while that was fun, you know, it didn't get quite the response I wanted it to. And, you know, in that point in my life, I was so into the spirituality thing. I feel like I kind of neglected kind of other areas of my life. And I kind of let like my whole, like kind of the whole business side of things for me kind of went downhill. And because this is the thing, I mean, as you know, I like personal development and spirituality and stuff like that, super, super important. But unfortunately, like when it comes to a business, it's all about like the demand, right? And people are all about like getting good physique and getting girls and stuff like that. And so it kind of got difficult to build any sort of business around this spirituality thing, you know what I mean? And so I'm like, dang, you know, I'm not sure exactly what to do, if I should kind of go back to doing the old stuff or if that would even like really work. I'm just kind of in a point in my life right now. I'm just kind of trying to like figure out what to do, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
And it's thank you so much for opening up about that, because like myself personally, and also if I look around me and the friends and even entrepreneurial people that are around me, they deal with the same. And I think a lot of it has, like, how old are you right now?
27.
All right. I just turned 29 myself. And we're so overwhelmed by opportunity, and there's so much possible. Like we both have a big following. We both have like a passion for spirituality. And I resonated with what you said about like, yes, it's great, it's very important, but like the business side of it is not really popping that much as it would for the other things that, you know, product wise or fitness wise. So I relate a lot with what you say, and I think I also went through a phase like that pretty recently, where like, hey, what direction am I really wanting to go, and which is, you know, financially rewarding enough as well, and where I can have the most impact, and all these questions, right? I did the ayahuasca, I did the toad, which like gave me a whole different perspective on life. After that in Colombia, so that gave me a lot of peace personally, but at the same time I don't know, like I think there is no right answer. I just kind of feel that it's a natural stage to occur, and that the answers will flow, they will come. Like I don't think there is a right or wrong. Does that make sense? Like I think we can get really caught up in our minds and overthink, but really we just have to be, we just have to be present. Like you brought a lot of yourself. And this is what I love about you, and also what people judge you for, other people. You shared that transition in fish. You were very open about it. And also the whole premasati yoga phase, like, mind you, that's still impacting people, including myself, you know. So you did something right there, and I think it's bigger than what you at that point imagine it to be. So I don't know, man. I think just like the seasons of life, you know, it kind of like happens in our beings, and I'm just very grateful that you are here, like opening up about kind of like that and that stage. And for me, what really helped personally was the whole ayahuasca and the toad experience, and like going back to like what's really important and valuable. And again, and then if I look around, a lot of people like, hey, I don't want to keep doing this. I want to do something else. And so there's a lot of questions and a lot of information and a lot of opportunity. It's very overwhelming. And I don't think a lot of people our age realize that, and that get like overwhelmed because of everything that's going on right now. What has helped you? Like, because you retracted fully, like you went off social media, like you went to your parents. What helped you?
Yeah, I think one thing that I really that you said is something like, you know, no matter what you're going through in life, you know, you don't really know if it's good or if it's bad. You know what I mean? You might be going through something awful, but later down the line, you learn a great lesson for it and stuff like that. There's this, you've probably heard it, and I might botch this, but there's this Eastern story about, you know, this farmer who the horse ran away, right? And the townspeople were like, oh, that's so awful. And he goes, maybe. And then the next day, the horse came back with three new horses. And the townspeople were like, oh, wow, that's great. You have three new horses now. And he's like, maybe. And then his son, he goes and rides one of the new three horses. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. You know, he's like, maybe. He comes back and he ends up breaking a leg from falling off one of these new horses. And everyone's like, oh, that's so awful. And he's like, maybe. And then the government comes by, they're doing the rounds, and they're bringing people like to war. So they're recruiting people to go to war. And because the guy's leg is broken, they pass him up, and, you know, he doesn't go to war. And the townspeople are like, oh, wow, well, that's so great. And he was like, maybe. And the point is that there's this farmer guy, he's wise, because he realizes that all these things that happen in life later down the road, you don't know whether it's good or bad. You know, at first you think, oh, the horse is coming back, they're good. But then he falls off the horse. Oh, well, it's bad. But then, oh, he broke his leg, so it doesn't. You know what I mean? You just don't know. And a lot of people, it's type of arrogance, or just kind of lack of awareness, really, to think that something that happens in your life is either good or bad, because you have no idea, right? And I think that's I always kind of keep that in mind. You know what I mean? And try and be positive, and just try and find the positive in everything, no matter what happens. That's definitely helped a lot. You know, that's kind of the number one perspective that I'm always keeping in mind is kind of no matter how rough things get, that's I think that's a good perspective to have.
Did what made you decide to go off the grid and just I don't know exactly when you decided that, but I remember you went just like you went for like a blackout. I don't know if that was just your decision or if others were involved with that, because it was going bad at some point. Like I was like, you were at a point where you were like really like losing it, right?
Kind of. See, this is the thing. I think a lot of people don't really understand that. A lot of it was more of an act than people really realize. And maybe, you know, maybe the idea to put on this grand kind of act is like crazy enough in and of itself where you say, oh, even trying that is, it's kind of crazy. But, you know, it's interesting, man. It's hard to really describe, but there was this whole kind of act that I was trying to put on, this kind of there's this YouTube channel that I looked up to in the past. His name is like McJugger Nuggets. And basically, if you look into that YouTube channel, he had this like incredible idea where he would do he would film these crazy interactions, like with him and his parents and like his friends, like, he'd title it something like, like Crazy Dad Destroys Xbox or something. And there are like videos of an Xbox getting ran over by like a lawnmower and stuff like that. And it just drew all these people in, like these crazy interactions. And I mean, it got like really extreme. I know that there was like, it got like really extreme and everyone was drawn in. And then one day he kind of revealed, I don't know exactly how he did it, but it was kind of revealed that it was all like an act. And then it was this huge thing and he was looked at as like this amazing actor and stuff like that. And a lot of this, I was trying to do something pretty similar. There's this play called Dear Evan Hansen, who's the main character is Connor Murphy. And he was like addicted to, or he ended up like dying or having a drug overdose or something like that. And I was playing off that. I was playing, I don't know if you saw, but I was doing a lot of things with golf because there's a spiritual golf book called Golf in the Kingdom, right?
Yeah.
And the author's name is Michael Murphy, which is my dad's name. And I was trying to play off these different stories and kind of do these crazy things, but then leave these kind of hints, right? Scattered throughout. And then I was kind of planning on kind of revealing I was kind of revealing that a lot of this stuff was acting, but the problem was, is that I kind of made the mistake. Like, so say someone watched every single one of my videos from the start to the end, right? They would have had a good idea of what was going on, but unfortunately that's not how YouTube works. You know what I mean? People kind of read titles and thumbnails. They'll look at like maybe the main parts of the videos and they kind of won't get the whole story of what's going on. And that's kind of the big mistake that I made, right? Mm-hmm. I guess the video that really explains a lot of it, I took down a lot of the videos just because now I'm like, well damn, it didn't work that much. I'm trying to kind of like rebrand, and the idea right now is to kind of rebrand and do something like the old style of stuff that I used to do, and we'll see. But I did this video where I like streaked in the US Open, and there was this whole storyline to it, and I explained a lot of what I was trying to do, and I don't know, super complicated stuff. And I totally, if someone has the perspective of, well, to even try that is absolutely crazy in and of itself, you know, yeah, I agree, you know what I mean? But I guess the point is that there's just so much, there's so much behind it that a lot of people just looking from it from the outside, kind of on a surface level perspective, you know, aren't really going to understand it, and that's totally fine. I totally understand that. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot to it. It was definitely a little complicated story.
I remember looking at it, and I know you, like I spoke to you, I see what you do, and you know, like I see through the layers, I guess, because, you know, we're very connected on that level. But I think for a lot of people, they don't see that. So whenever I saw a post, I was like, I see what you're doing here, right? But I think a lot of people don't see that. They don't see the deeper meaning or what you're really trying to convey, because sometimes, and what's what I loved about it, you were also putting an underlying message there, which was quite powerful, but not everybody saw that. And now there's a lot of people, like, you know, talking about your drug use, and that was the reason why you lost it. And like, you know, we're both in the public eye, we're both also at the same time not really giving a fuck, but what do you want to clarify about, like, you know, what is being said about that in regards to the mental hospital and all that stuff? Like, are there things you want to clarify about that? Because I do want to give you that opportunity here.
Yeah, I don't really have some great, like, desire to, you know, make everyone understand, you know, because I kind of just go with the flow. And it's like, you know, if people think I'm crazy, I don't really give a damn, besides the fact that, like, you know, if it's kind of hurting the business or whatever, yeah, that kind of sucks. But from, like, a personal level, I don't have some need for, like, a long time ago, I tried to give up the need for, like, others validation, right? But you know, if people are curious, you know, I've done, like, psychedelics before, for sure. I mean, many, many times. Right. But, it was very played up, right? It was very exaggerated for the storyline. One of the storylines that I was trying to go off of, right? Kind of the stories that I was trying to tell to give this deeper meaning, is that I was doing this mental health fundraiser, and it didn't work that well. We raised a few hundred bucks or something like that. Didn't go as well as I thought, but that was part of it. Is I was doing this fundraiser, right, for Mental Health America, and one of the stories, like I said, I was playing off of was Dear Evan Hansen, the Connor Murphy character, who apparently was, you know, had a drug problem, right? And so I kind of played up this idea that I was, like, addicted to, like, these psychedelics, which I thought that people would realize psychedelics aren't an addictive substance. Like, you can't really, they're not addictive. I mean, I guess technically really depends how you define addiction. I mean, technically, I guess you could be addicted to anything that you like, but psychedelics have this tendency to actually overwhelm you and make you not want to do it for a while, right? And all science has shown that there is actually no physical dependence on them whatsoever. So I took them every once in a while, but it wasn't, like, anything like people thought. You know, I was doing these videos, and again, it was kind of part of the act where I was saying I was, like, taking them, like, every day, like, every 2 hours. That just wasn't the case. That was kind of part of I was trying to play up to this character, this Dear Evan Hansen character. Again, complicated story, and you'd have to kind of go back and watch like all the videos to really get a good understanding. But it just wasn't really the case. Again, it was this kind of this act that I was putting on. And then psychiatric facility, right? I actually did this kind of video kind of explaining everything, but I think that for people to really get a good understanding, they just got to go back and kind of watch the videos, because it's not really enough to kind of explain it here. But I did a lot of videos on that. You know, I should probably make kind of an unlisted playlist or something like that, if people who really want to kind of understand. But again, it was this, looking back on it, it was probably, like, a crazy idea, right? So the idea to even try it was, again, crazy enough in and of itself, but it was part of the act as well. And looking back on it, I think a lot of people might look back and say, wow, if he did something that crazy, all for, like, the views, all for, like, attention or whatever, like, what an attention whore, you know, like, what a horrible thing to do. But back then, I really think that I was trying to tell this story and spread this message, right? Kind of the spiritual message, which, again, really deep. If you're not into, like, Eastern cultures or like that, or something like that, really doesn't make too much sense to explain. But yeah, there was so much going on. And I just encourage people to keep an open mind and realize that, you know, everything that you see on YouTube might not be real. You know what I mean? Like it might not be exactly like what you think it could be. It might be, there might be something deeper going on. I mean, I don't know. That's all I'll say about it.
True. Yeah, no. But so wait, just to clarify, like even that was part of the act back then.
It would take a while to really expound the whole thing, but I did a video, it's still actually up on my third channel, called like The Truth, and that was the first time that I did it. And the idea, I was hoping that it would bring a lot of attention and help kind of spread this spiritual message. And there was a lot that went into it, but I don't want to try and defend that, like, I was thinking like completely like normal, rational, like the average person, right? Because someone who was thinking completely normal and rational, like the average person, would not attempt to try these kind of like stunts that I was doing for YouTube, right? And you know, maybe I was definitely for sure on kind of like a spiritual high where I was not caring so much about materialistic things like money. Like I gave away a lot of money, which looking back on it, maybe wasn't the best idea. So stuff like that, like the idea that people have it just kind of looking from the outside, like this, looking at it kind of on a surface level, it's definitely not the full story. But I wouldn't say like, geez, obviously I wasn't thinking how a normal, rationally minded, like Western person was thinking, or I wouldn't even attempt to do these stunts, right? So it's kind of this combination of kind of being on this spiritual high, saying, you know what, material things, they don't matter as much. All I want to do is like spread this message and like help as many people as I can. And because the whole idea was, so there are these great like Eastern philosophies, right? Like Buddhism, meditation, right? And these things go super, super, super deep, right? And the problem is if I made some videos like, oh, here's how to meditate, or here's this cool Eastern concept, like it wouldn't get any attention. You know what I mean? Because people would be like, what? That's boring. So the idea was to kind of do some crazy stunts to kind of reel people in with the drama, right? Mm-hmm. The excitement, right? And then they would slowly kind of learn these Eastern concepts and deeper meanings and stuff like that. And that was the idea, right? And it worked to an extent. I mean, there was a lot of people reached out like, oh my gosh, like, I get it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't spiritual before, but now I'm actually getting the things you say. Like, thank you, thank you, thank you. But then, of course, the majority of the people, they didn't really understand it. You know what I mean? So yeah, it was some weird stuff that went on for sure. But it's difficult to try and explain.
And then there was a point where you just said, all right, that's it. I'm off the grid. When was that?
Yeah. I think that was basically after, it was shortly after I did, it was kind of the grand finale of this whole kind of act where I streaked at the US Open. So US Open, big famous like golf tournament, right? And I kind of ran onto the course and hit golf balls, and I did it actually in the name of like, it was interesting. So I did it in the name of like gay pride, and I'm not gay, but I thought that, hey, might as well do it for something, for some sort of cause. Right. And I think that actually helped me because I think I'm the first streaker ever that actually like didn't go to jail afterwards. And I think that me doing it for gay pride actually, like helped my case, right? Yeah. Because people wouldn't want someone doing something for that kind of cause. They didn't want to put me in jail because then it would be like, oh, the PGA Tour must be homophobic, you know what I mean? And so I think that actually helped it. But yeah, for people that don't know, I streaked, I ran onto the course at the US Open, and I did this whole video on it, and I was there was this whole storyline leading up to it. So like everything that I turned everything into kind of this story. So everything I was doing prior kind of led up to this, right? And I thought that it would kind of be this huge hit where people would be like, oh my gosh, like, oh, it's kind of he's been planning this whole time. It's kind of, there's obviously he's planned this out. It's this act. Oh, I can see that he's like acting, and wow, this was like really cool. Like, not only is it like for a good cause, but like, wow, I mean, no one's ever done that before in like a professional golf tournament like that. Right. But nothing really came of it. Like it was just not a good, it didn't get that good of a response. Got like, I don't know, 30, 50,000 views, something like that, but it just didn't take off how I thought it would. And it was kind of, it just kind of left me very unmotivated. I'm like, wow. Cause I never really worked on putting kind of this story together, right? This crazy story, and doing so much, working so hard, and then nothing really coming of it. You know what I mean? People were just like, oh, I mean, what, just some crazy dude running out on the field of a go, you know what I mean? And so it was very like unmotivating. And I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm going about this in the right way, or I don't know if people are even, if they're like, my audience just does not resonate with it at all. I don't know. And I just started to rethink things, and I'm like, geez, I don't know. First of all, I don't know how I could really continue a business doing things the way I'm doing. And also it's like, I just don't know if I'm the right guy to kind of be portraying this message to the audience that I have. Like, I don't know. And I just started rethinking a lot of things. I'm like, I need to take a break, think about this stuff, and think about what I should do. And so that's kind of where I'm at now.
Wow. What a story, man.
It's crazy.
So that was like, all right. And then also you moved out of LA.
So I was in Austin. So
it was in Austin.
My lease just expired. Mm-hmm. And So I decided like for the extended holidays, I just go home, hang with my family, and then decide what I'm going to do next. So I'm not sure, I'm not sure exactly where I'm going to go next. It's back to LA, back to Austin. I haven't really decided because, I'm still kind of deciding what exactly to do. And then once I decide exactly what I should do, then I have to see, what place would be the best for that, So still kind of figuring all that out.
A question on like maybe also a personal side is like, I know you did the ayahuasca. I don't know. Did you do the toe too?
Yeah. Oh no, I've never done the toe. Okay. I haven't. I'm actually curious how that went for you.
Oh,
and the difference between the two.
I think ayahuasca is like maybe 10% of what like the toad is and what it can do. I think I did ayahuasca and it definitely changed me, like in my perception about life and materialistic things. And I came out of that as a very different person, but it's also like I'm getting a lot of information still. And I think that is the beautiful thing about the medicine. Also because I did it in a ceremony in South America where the plant is from. And with the shaman and everything, but the toad, like Mike Tyson, like I think talks about it so briefly in his podcast where I resonate with the most is the dying, the literally like you do the toad. It's like actually from the toad, it's the poison they take out. You smoke it, the taita, the shaman gives it to you, and you fall, you just literally die, and you just see so much light. And that's why it's called the God molecule, where you just, it's so much DMT and like you just go into the spiritual world and awakening. And I see like people that passed away, like friends, family, and they comforted me and they said, it's okay. Like we hear, and I went all the way back to my ancestors, to when I was a little baby. I saw so much, and I woke up like reborn, and like my partner, my girlfriend, was next to me, and she saw me in my most vulnerable state. And I didn't realize that until I came back, like I was reborn, and like I went through all this whole process. I woke up, I saw like the trees, and it was bluish, and I was like, I was touching the grass, and it felt so perfect. And I started to wonder and ask myself, why do I stress about things I shouldn't be stressed about? Like, why do I give so much meaning to this? Like, and you start to just realize the beingness and just the presence of everything. It's just everything that matters, but there's so much noise around us that we make ourselves feel miserable. And it just dawned upon me, and all this like competition, right? Like, oh wait, I need to do better. I need to make more money. I need to be part of this rat race, this fucking matrix we're in, right? My friend. And this is what I was also another beautiful experience in Colombia. I went all the way up into the mountains, the jungle. You see people living there completely sustainable with their own cows, chickens, water, resources. They don't care what's happening in Afghanistan. They don't care what's happening with this whole pandemic. They're in their own life and they're happy. They're so happy. So it's like this whole experience for me, man, was completely life-changing. And then, of course, you get back to Europe, or I get back to the US, and it's like, yeah, you feel the energy again, right? It's like you said, this spiritual journey, like it's beautiful. But it's like, it's tough, man, to stay in this like bliss. And but the realization, and now kind of like transitioning it into my business and into just my life, right? Business, like, I mean, just my life is I think the most important thing, man. And now I'm in NFTs and stuff, and I'm just playing around. I'm just doing what I'm very fortunate enough to be able to do that, right? And also because, like, I always speak about this, what is your freedom level? People are like, how much money do I need? That's up to you. I live with 2,000, 5,000. It depends on how you want to live. I just always say this, as long as I can buy my food, I can have a car, I can get around, I can travel, I feel financially free, you know? So you need to ask yourself, what is your freedom level in order to do that? And because I've reached that freedom level now for the past, I can say 8 years, I've been able to live this life and not feel that I've worked a day after the military. I don't feel I've worked a day in my life. So that is a beautiful thing. And it sounds more beautiful and easy than it actually is, because you're an entrepreneur, I'm an entrepreneur. It's not easy, guys. It's not easy. You go through these phases of insecurity and anxiety and people won't understand and loneliness. And it sometimes hits hard. It's not just all this like bliss, no. But that is why this spiritual journey, connecting with who you are, is super important. And that's why these open conversations are important, you know, and also understanding you better. Because I saw you, man, the first time I spoke to you, I got you, I understood you. I'm like, I see who you are on your deeper core and level. And coming back to after the thought, I saw people for who they really were. And that was scary, my friend. Like, I saw them, like just the ego and everything. I'm like, wow, like you are not okay, you know, because I saw their true. So I just kept my circle even smaller. And that was beautiful. Yeah. So the thought for me was one of the greatest experiences in my life, actually the greatest, after being born, of course. But like, that was, yeah. Yeah. That was just like, I died. that's just what it is. So I mean, I don't think there's anything like greater than experiencing something like that and then coming back. And it's scary, man, but then like when you see the light and you see, I guess, God, right? Like, to me it was God, and it just comforted you, and it was like, wow. So that that was kind of like my experience. But I think this is the first time I'm actually more briefly describing what it did to me in my life. But I think I haven't talked so openly about it yet. But yeah, that definitely was a life changer for me. Yeah.
Wow.
And you did ayahuasca a couple times, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. At a ceremony. Mm-hmm. 2 days in a row at a ceremony. And then I tried like some at-home stuff a couple times. Didn't really go as well. Like, I mean, there was nothing that really compared to having people that have done it for so long. They know exactly how to make it, how much to give you. And I think there's something about that setting too, as well, that actually gives you some sort of deeper effect. You know what I mean? There's something about it. There's something about, and I think that's why people do it in those ceremonies. So I don't think it's something as simple once you go into these kind of, once you start talking about this stuff on such a spiritual level, it kind of gets beyond something that's just like some sort of neurotransmitter in your brain. You know what I mean? So I think there's definitely something that, that is really good about like the ceremony. So I recommend that anyone that does it, they do the ceremony at least first. But yeah, I did it 2 days in a row at a ceremony, and it's tough. It's been a while, and it would be tough for me to kind of describe in words what happened. You know what I mean? Because it takes you to a place that's kind of beyond the human mind and beyond human language. You know what I mean? Stuff that you can't really describe with words. Language is inherently dualistic, and it takes you to a place of wholeness, oneness, and non-duality. So it's something that you could try and talk about and point to it, but language will never really do it justice. But what I can tell you is, you know, I was very conscious on like the way back, right? Kind of like the come down, right? I guess you could say my human mind was very conscious. And I like how you said, because I can definitely resonate with it, how you felt like reborn, right? I felt like, I was completely like I died, and then I completely like reincarnated there on the spot. I felt like I could feel me, the intricate process of like becoming human again, like memories. It was like I was a baby, right? With no memories, no concept of anything that was going on around me. So it's like looking up at the sky and being completely ignorant to what it is, but yet still being so connected and one with it, and seeing it as sort of this like visceral beauty, right? And so I was kind of this just blank, empty canvas. And then all of a sudden, like memories and stuff started coming back and slowly like inching its way back into like my human mind. And I totally felt just reborn on the spot. In fact, it was to the point where it's like there was no way of me knowing whether all those memories were real or if the entire universe just like began like in that instant. You know what I mean? Like it truly felt like being born again, because I was completely like this blank canvas, and then all these memories and stuff started like coming back. So yeah, it was very, very interesting. And yeah, it was definitely, I mean, it was definitely one of the most influential experiences. You know what I mean? I mean, if it wasn't for that, obviously wouldn't be so into, but like it just showed me that there's something so much deeper, and that, you know, I think a lot of the suffering in the world and a lot of the things that people do that are kind of harming the world kind of come from this idea that this is like all there is. And so the idea is to kind of take as much as you can from the world while you have this short little finite life. Take as much as you can for yourself while you're here. And you know, that's kind of the mindset behind all these giant like pharmaceutical companies, these CEOs. That's kind of what they think. They're like, I'm here for this limited time. I'm going to take as much as I can, experience as much pleasure as I can during this life. You know, they don't see it as kind of this deeper meaning. I see it as kind of like this learning experience. You know what I mean? I don't necessarily, and like we were talking about earlier, it's like we don't know what's necessarily good or bad in the long run. So the only way to really look at it for me is kind of just seeing it as a learning experience and try and kind of gain as much knowledge from every facet of life as possible. And even the suffering, just kind of see it as a positive, right? Because how could we ever know any sort of joy or pleasure without the contrast of the suffering, right? It wouldn't mean anything. So yeah, I mean, these experiences are just so wild and so deep. And it's something that in order for something like this to really spread like to the world, to people to understand the kind of that there's something so strange and mysterious and deeper about the universe, we're going to either have to kind of revamp science or kind of look at it from a different perspective, because this kind of goes beyond something that you can like measure it in the brain. We're going to have to start looking at things from more of a first person subjective experience kind of thing rather than something objective that can be measured. Because obviously this stuff is kind of, for example, I mean, people will have to experience it to understand it, right? It's not that it's something that can be explained or something that can really be measured or kind of objectified by some sort of measurement, like scientific measurement, you know what I mean? And so, but man, yeah, all I can say is like, wow, like these are definitely some crazy, interesting experiences.
Wow. Like what is like now for you, the stage you're in, and you want to make like a comeback, if you will, in a direction that you feel is right?
Yeah, I'm still not sure. Yeah. Cause I was in the place where I was so into this spirituality stuff because I saw just so many benefits from it. Mm-hmm. And it was something so much deeper. And it was the first thing that really resonated with me. It was like, wow, like this is kind of the key to happiness, right? Or so I thought. So, because I would, you know, I knew the experiences that I had, and I could see the benefit of training the mind, because the mind is the only thing that you have with you, like 24/7, you know what I mean? So it's like, okay, is the key to happiness getting some car? Well, I mean, first of all, it's not even really the car that brings you happiness. It's the idea of the car, right? So you go into sleep at night thinking, oh, like I have this car, which is like better than the other cars. And it's like the status symbol. Maybe I can get more girls with it, or like, so I think whatever. So it's not really the car, it's the idea of the car. And so really everything, it's all in our mind, right? That's the only thing that we really are experiencing is our mind. And so I saw this great benefit. I could see how it could be so powerful to train the mind, right? Rather than trying to somehow manipulate the external world, I saw it as so valuable to work on the internal world, because that's what you have with you 24/7. And if you could get to a place where your internal world is always peaceful, then you'll always see the external world is peaceful. And, you know, you'd read these stories about these monks who trained their mind so to such a deep level where they could, you know, lay on a bed of nails, like walk on hot coals and not feel pain. Basically, they would have this peace through any mm-hmm. circumstance whatsoever. And that's kind of, I like thought that I could get to that point where I was like, if I could get to a high enough level spiritually that I could just be like indestructible. And like, it wouldn't matter, like nothing in life would matter at all. If I could just train my mind this level, you know, I, back then I was meditating like, geez, like 3 hours a day. I mean, I still meditate a lot. I try and, you know, I probably actually meditate at least like 30 minutes a day. But back then I was just going so hardcore. Cause I was like, if I can just train my mind to be peaceful under any circumstance, then I'm like indestructible, you know what I mean? But, you know, then I started to realize that although that, maybe that's true. I mean, maybe you could take the most hardcore monk in the world and you could, you know, put him in jail, or you could put him, lock him in a room forever, or he could go through a ton of suffering and somehow still be peaceful. You know what I mean? Or he could be homeless and like still be peaceful or whatever. But I would say that's like this guy, that monk would be like the LeBron James of like meditation. You know what I mean? I mean, that's something it might not be attainable for the average person, or at least not so soon. You know what I mean? Maybe that would take many, many more decades of work, right? Because in the end, you're still going to have to live in this world where you need to, if you're going to live in the United States, if you're not going to be homeless, beg for food or whatever, you're going to need to make some kind of money, right? You're going to need to pay your taxes. You're going to need to do these kind of basic materialistic things just to survive, like as a human, you know what I mean? And so I started looking at it more like, man, I gotta look at it from a more balanced perspective. I don't think I'm going to be able to, at least not now, become like this superhuman where nothing bothers me and I can just be, my mind can just be invincible. You know what I mean? Like I still have to live kind of this materialistic life, at least for now. And I think that I need to start looking at things from more of a balanced perspective. And also because if you put yourself in a situation where, like I said, maybe a Buddhist monk, like the LeBron James of Buddhism would be able to handle this. The Buddha would probably be able to handle this, you know, but if you put yourself in a very stressful, like materialistic situation, you know what I mean? You're not doing well financially, or you're struggling in your relationships, like whatever. It's going to be hard to really improve your spiritual practice as well, right? On the one hand, you can use those difficulties as a spiritual practice, of course. You could use any sort of suffering kind of as a spiritual practice, right? But in terms of, you know, meditating, getting in really deep meditative states, like they call them like jhanas, if you're trying to do some like jhana practice where you're deep concentration states that bring you intense like ecstasy and stuff like that, or if you're trying to do insight practices where you're trying to, you know, kind of get the awakening experience that like psychedelics would give you, or right, it's going to be really hard to do so when you have all this stress, right, in your life. You know what I mean? Like anyone knows that if you're going to go and do some psychedelic trip under a bunch of stress, right, your life is not going well. Like if you just went through like a breakup, or like you're really struggling financially, all those negative thoughts are going to come in. It's going to make that psychedelic trip probably not that good. You're probably going to have a bad trip, and you're not going to have a lot of benefits, right? And so I started saying like, wow, I need to have more balance to my life. So this whole spiritual journey has been great. And of course, like it's always going to be a huge part of my life. And a part of me knows that like, that's really what matters, right? Like that deeper meaning to life, right? But I still got to get like my life in order. You know what I mean? And set some sort of foundation, some sort of groundwork where I can practice that without so much stress, more efficiently, you know? So now it's kind of more like, I just need to go about life kind of in a more balanced way, right?
You made a lot of money in crypto, but I think you gave that away, didn't you?
Yeah. That's the thing. It's such a weird, interesting story, but I ended up leaking my crypto wallet account. I ended up leaking one of my like bank information stuff.
But you can't say this is all an act, my friend. Like I love you, right? But that's I mean, that wasn't part of the act, was it?
Well, like I said, to do that, right? To do that, you could say that you're in a place that's not completely sane, you know what I mean? To give away all your money and stuff like that. But it was something that was planned like over several weeks. Like I said, okay, I'm going to do this too, because the idea was to show, hey, everyone's too focused on materialistic matters, right? Everyone's too focused on like their money and like material stuff. Like that's not what matters. So I'm going to say, hey, like I'm going to do this and show that it's the deeper stuff that really matters, you know? And just doing that, right, is coming from a place where it obviously it's not a fully rational place. Cause like I said, I think now I'm in a much more rational state where I realize like there's balance to everything. Right. But it wasn't something that was just like, oh, like I'm like crazy. Like here's all my bank details, like whatever. Like there's actually like a purpose behind it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Now the purpose might, yeah, for sure. It might be crazy. You know what I mean? But everything was done with a purpose, I guess, like you could say.
Yeah. This is like, where I think a lot of people got confused, because as much as I like, you know, saw the bigger picture, like mm-hmm. sometimes you went so like out of it that it was like, wait, okay, maybe he is really losing it, you know, like, and then you got like mm-hmm. a lot of people talking, right? And it was just like all over the place, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a point where even I remember I was like, I was getting worried for you. I was like, wait, should I reach out to him right now? Like, should I give it, like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. so, and then when I saw you took that break, I was like, yeah, this, you know, sometimes is necessary to, like, I think just reassess, like, hey, where do I stand? Where do I ground myself? And that's super difficult. And I think anybody like listening right now, a lot of people can relate with this. A lot of people think and feel what you also expressed. It's all, almost a way to artistically express yourself, what like is actually happening in a lot of people's minds, but they're too, they live in too much fear or whatever to really give into that, you know? So no, I saw you, man. And I just hated like the judgments and all the hate and for the decisions you made, but nobody really talked about the love you gave, right? And that's why I really wanted to go all in on Premasati yoga with you, because that was all about love. That was changing people's lives. So I was like, we need to talk about that more, right? And I want to talk a lot more with you with like different podcasts and different topics. But I really wanted for this hour, and usually we're like 20, 40 minutes. So we're actually making this very long, but that's okay. To be more about like spiritual and like where are things, and where are they going? And so I'm just, listen, how are you, can you say for the time that you've been away, like you're doing a lot better? Because
well it's interesting, it really depends how you define better. Because there was definitely a point when I was going through the peak of these wild videos. I mean think about it, in order to do that kind of stuff and to take those kind of risks, right, risks like your reputation and like your financial situation on the internet, you have to be coming from a place of like quite a lot of freedom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was definitely like the most free and like happy I've been. Like I was at a place of such peace where I felt like indestructible, like, you know, nothing in this material world could affect me because I am this, like, I am the material world. I am consciousness, like itself. I am this essence that is actually manifesting all of this. And, you know, I was just kind of so deep into this spirituality that I was at a place of complete freedom. I had completely deconstructed like all social conditioning, right? So it's like all these negative responses I was getting, I saw them as just so silly, like silly like judgments, like people taking everything too seriously and not realize that the only reason that you think that anything is good or bad is from how you were conditioned by your parents, the media. I mean, everything that we think about the world and each other, like everything has just been conditioned into us, right? None of this is inherently some sort of, all these opinions of everyone, they're all subjective. There's no sort of objective truth behind any of these like opinions, right? It's just kind of how we were conditioned, and this reality is kind of, is just this manifestation. Your reality is just the manifestation of all your internal conditionings throughout your entire life. And so I just kind of saw right through that. So I completely didn't care about what anyone thought it at all. So I was just completely free to just, and again, it was this huge, like artistic thing for me. So I was completely kind of expressing things in such a free artistic way, trying to tell this story, trying to spread this message. And I admit it definitely was not, probably not in the way that would resonate with like the most amount of people, you know what I mean? But it was, the point is that I was completely free, and I was like the happiest like I've ever been, right? And now
that's beautiful that you say that, because I think like a lot of people think you were not happy and you were struggling, but you were actually happy.
The more crazy it got, the more happy I was, right? I mean, if you like, for me, I'm naturally super introverted, you know? So if I'm not feeling happy, like I'm not feeling like the happiest I've ever felt right now. Like I'm okay. Like, you know what I mean? I'm sure my mental health is better than most of the world. Like, I mean, we're living in the real pandemic is like our mental health. I mean, I could talk for hours on why that's happening, but the world that we live in is so unnatural compared to how a human has evolved to live, right? So there's just a horrible mental health pandemic, But no, see, I'm naturally a really introverted guy. So like, if I'm not feeling good, I'm not going to want to do stuff, crazy stuff for the internet. I'm not going to want to film at all. I'm not going to want to be on camera. Like I'm not going to want to do anything. You know what I mean? And so, no, it was like, the crazier it got, that was just the more happy and free that I was. And so, no, I'm definitely, I wouldn't say that I'm as happy as I was during that time period, right? But obviously I'm more grounded, and I think, you know, how I was, it wasn't very, you know, I don't know, it probably wasn't sustainable, or at least what I was doing, that kind of act for the internet, that wasn't going to be sustainable. You know what I mean? Like I have to have some sort of footing and grounding in like this material world, and still interact with society in like a some sort of normal way, and still abide by some sort of societal norms.
Get a partner?
And because, I mean, in this world, at least in this Western world that we live in, I mean, we depend on other people. We depend on society for our livelihood, whether, you know, you're going to get a job or build a business. I mean, you're depending on other people for customers, or you're depending on people to employ you, or, I mean, you eat cheese, you got to go to the grocery store. You're depending on people for food. You know what I mean? So I'm definitely more grounded now. And
you had a partner?
And I did have a partner. We're not together at the moment, you know, that I could talk for a long time about that, but it wasn't the healthiest for either of us, this situation that we were in. Long story, but yeah, so I'm single right now, and that maybe that's part of it too, you know, that's definitely challenging, right? I'm still it's only been about a month or so since kind of that like breakup, I guess. That's definitely challenging as well. So yeah, it's not really an easy time. It's this transitional phase.
Well, let's be honest here, Connor. Like that is a horrible feeling. That is going through a breakup, guys. Even if you do it mutually and you agree and every, like, or whatever the reason is, that is a horrible feeling. It's like something is like taken away from like your, you know, your body, like a piece of you, like it. And that's because like the conditioning, right? You've been together, you've had memories together, so you became a part of who you are, your identity. So that's a whole different like podcast itself, but I'm glad you touched on that a little bit. But people that are going through that, like, I think, like, you know, of course it's going to be time. But that feeling, yeah, on top of everything and pandemic, it's not easy. It's horrible.
Yeah. So yeah, life can be super challenging for sure. Yeah. But again, like I look at it as like a positive, you know, this kind of, you can't have high points without low points. You know what I mean? It's all about the contrast. You know, it's very interesting. Our minds work in such interesting ways. I mean, if I was some sort of starving child in Africa, and all of a sudden, I was given my situation right now, I would be like ecstatic. You know what I mean? I would be like the happiest person ever. So it's weird. The mind, it's inherently kind of built off like these comparisons. Right.
True.
And so, yeah, I try and look at it as a positive thing.
Oh no, definitely. And for a lot of people, it's the best case scenario, right? Because a toxic relationship can literally kill you.
But exactly.
You know, the feeling of like processing and everything, man, but man, I want to thank you so much, for, you know, like sharing this time and the conversation and what you, you know, been doing, what you've been going through. I hope for some listeners that, have been really waiting for this and like requesting it, it clarified some things. I obviously, you know, saw some patterns and some things that I was like, all right, he's okay. You know, he has to like take a break and that, you know, but, for the people that judged and, or past things or videos that he did, like, listen, life is all about seasons and experimenting and being yourself. And I really hope and I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on our Instagram. I'll put Connor Murphy's Instagram here too in the description. You know, share your feedback, share your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to obviously at some point do a part three because we have a lot more topics to touch on. But Connor, I want to thank you so much for your time, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah, of course, man. Thanks for being on here. Yeah, it was fun.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Jesse Meester. Thanks for listening to the show. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. And if you want to be the next guest, please apply by filling in the contact form on jessemeester.com or DM Meester Store on Instagram. Till next time, keep sharing love and life.